Thanks so much for listening to this clip of Reception Perception. New episodes release Tuesdays and Thursdays.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
We've got two games to break down. Let's start on the AFC side. Let's talk about Buffalo taking on Kansas City. Buffalo, a 1.5-point dog. They're playing at Kansas City, obviously, who is the number one seed. How does Buffalo go about slaying this dragon? And I say this knowing that they beat Kansas City in week 11, 30-21. But this is just, it's different. It is completely different now. But how does Buffalo go about slaying the dragon?
Oh, yeah. It's sort of becoming a trend now that they beat Kansas City in the regular season, lose to them in the postseason.
Right.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. It's just so tough. I don't even know what to say about the Chiefs anymore, man. Like, other than this. Mahomes is so good, and he's in his, I was talking to somebody about this morning. He's in that era of his career where he's so obnoxiously efficient, right? Mm-hmm. Especially on like third down. It's just ridiculous what they do on what they're able, how they're able to just, okay, we get 2 yards, 2 yards. It's third and six. Mahomes converts because he does. Yeah. He just does. He plays so well on timing and in structure and things like that. But then he still does stuff like he throws the touchdown falling down to Travis Kelce. You know, he still does the miraculous plays. And he is squarely in the prime of his career. He's not old. Like, he's still going to continue to add, you know, tricks and little clubs to his bags and things like that.
Right.
So he's a tough quarterback to preview against because, like, there are weaknesses on Kansas City's roster, but at the same time, you look at a team that has Pat Mahomes, that has Andy Reid, and they have playoff Travis Kelce. Like, it's remarkable how they just completely avoided throwing at the Houston cornerbacks. Three targets combined in coverage for Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter last week, just picked on the nickel, the linebackers, the safeties, and it went over very well for them. Obviously, Kelce had a 49-yard catch. He had 100 yards on the day. He had the touchdown, like I mentioned. That's probably not going to transition or like transfer completely over to this matchup with Buffalo because they're not the same defense at all that Houston brings to the table.
No.
A lot of differences there. We also saw Sean McDermott pitch a bunch of man coverage at the Ravens last week to relative success. So from an offensive perspective, I see a lot of ways that the Chiefs can continue to do their thing. When the Bills have the ball, I mean, that's an interesting one as well because they're a team that can throw a lot of different pitches at you. And I think that the Chiefs have struggled from a run defense perspective later in the season, but they're just such a different team in the postseason. It's really difficult to preview.
Do the new additions for both of these teams, very high-profile additions, right? Like the Kansas City Chiefs got Nuke Hopkins, and the Buffalo Bills got Amari Cooper. And at the time, both you and I really liked the moves, man. Like they were brilliant maneuvers at the time. They had a need at X receiver. They filled those needs with Nuke and Amari, respectively. But for whatever reason, Matt, these guys have done absolutely nothing. I mean, Nuke Hopkins against Houston, you talk about, you know, avoiding those corners. That's fine. But the guy only played 15 snaps. He played 15 snaps, got one target, zero receptions. Amari in this postseason has seen four targets with two catches for 8 yards. But guess what? Also in the divisional round, he also had zero. Nuke and Amari Cooper. Are you kidding me? When we go back 2 months and we're saying, okay, those trades go down. And both these teams are in the divisional. If I were to tell you both of those guys combined would have 0 yards, who's buying that? Who's buying that story? That's crazy that in the divisional round, Nuke Hopkins and Amari Cooper combined for 0 receiving yards. I don't understand it, but maybe you could help me point the way. Why have they been so effective, and what can they do in this conference matchup?
No, it's funny because I'm sure that when we made the analysis on that, both of those trades really, but especially the Hopkins trade, was like, this isn't a September trade, this isn't an October trade, this is a trade for January. We're here in January and
0 yards.
Doesn't matter. I mean, throw Marquise Brown in here too, the other veteran receiver for Kansas City. Four targets for those guys combined in the divisional round, 0 receptions for Marquise Brown, for DeAndre Hopkins, and for Amari Cooper. And I think, obviously, the Chiefs are a little bit separate than, although it's sort of along the same frame here with Buffalo, but I think particularly with Buffalo, you know, Cooper just never really found his footing there with this team. You know, I think that that's just part of it, where they make the big trade for him, but they also they really only needed him to do one specific thing. And I think the Bills are really good at playing like risk-averse football. You and I disagreed with the Tony Romo analysis, but you know, in terms of the most previous game where he was just like, we got to put the game in Josh's hands. I'm like, why? Not when you're running the ball really well and like you don't need to be pushing it to make a mistake, because you don't want to make a mistake. And that's how they're going to have to play here. Like, they're going to have to once again play mistake-free football. And Cooper, I think, just has never really found his footing as a separator with this team. He's mostly been used on like downfield contested passes. So he just hasn't been a priority in the offense. And I don't hate that he hasn't been a priority in the offense, because they have so many other answers. You know, Samuel's giving them some stuff in the playoffs. Obviously, Shakir is their go-to guy underneath. Best underneath receiver per our podcast.
Yep.
Nuke is a little trickier. I did think he would be playing like a bigger role by now, but Kansas City is like up to its usual tricks, right? At the wide receiver position, they're just rotating as they kind of always do there. It's not like they have a clear-cut set of guys. The only guy who's playing above 75% in terms of the dropbacks is Xavier Worthy. And Worthy's still kind of in a limited role. I mean, 1.5 air yards per target in the divisional round for Xavier Worthy. He's still not really like fully unleashed, although he did have one really nice downfield reception as well. But yeah, I mean, like DeAndre Hopkins and Juju Smith-Schuster are kind of like the rotational third guys, which I didn't really see that coming. I thought Hopkins would be playing more, but they just haven't really quite found it with him either this year.
I think the wrist injury also set Amari Cooper back a little bit here, but you're right.
Yeah.
Just from a motivation standpoint, when I watch Amari Cooper play, I'm just not seeing a guy that's fully engaged, to be honest with you. Not every snap anyways, you know, and that's kind of sort of been Amari's MO, is just, can this guy be engaged in a football game? And for that, you got to get him involved early and often, and they rarely get him involved early, and they certainly do not get him involved often, you know, so.
I wasn't it like deep into the fourth, or maybe deep third quarter, that he had his one and only target of the game.
That's just so crazy, man. I can't believe it, especially when the time of the trades went down, man. It felt so impactful at the time, you know?
Yeah.
And it's been anything but for both of these guys, which is really interesting. Hey, from a matchup perspective, this definitely feels like a big-time Khalil Shakir game, though, does it not? Kansas City has been really tough on the outside versus the inside. Kansas City has given up, per next-gen stats, they've given up the second most receptions and the sixth most yards per game to wide receivers lined up inside. Meanwhile, on the outside, the exact opposite. On the season, they've given up the fewest receptions and the second fewest yards to outside wide receivers this year. It feels like Buffalo can kind of sort of paint the middle here with Khalil Shakir and their tight ends.
Yeah, I think it'll look a lot like what we saw last week, where, again, it wasn't just that Amari Cooper was completely uninvolved. Keon Coleman had one target for one catch, 5 yards, and that was on a play that, when Josh Allen goes to the line, that's a run play, but because of the look, he can alert Keon Coleman that he's going to get that like slant, that little quick slant route that we've seen Coleman make some big plays in the open field. But credit to the Ravens defense, they were hitting all night long and they were tackling really well. They were bringing some fire there, and Coleman goes right to the ground. That was his only target of the day, and I think we could see something similar here. And obviously Coleman is a pure outside receiver, much to my dismay. He's a pure outside guy.
Yeah.
So Shakir, I think, will be involved a lot. I think the tight ends will be involved a lot, and I think we could once again see some James Cook receiving work as well, especially if they can split him out, which, you know, at times has been successful and other times he's just been like a good dump off option. But yeah, man, I agree with you. Like, I think this is once again a Khalil Shakir game.
In week 11, Khalil Shakir, 12 targets, 8 receptions, 70 yards. Very productive. You talked about James Cook. He ran 15 routes, which is not a ton, but it's enough. 15 routes, 6 targets, 5 catches for just 7 yards. I'm interested to see how often they get Ty Johnson, because it seems as if they've kind of sort of taken away a lot of the pass catching opportunities for James Cook in recent weeks and given that all to Ty Johnson. I wonder if Ty Johnson gets a little bit more involved in the game as well. By the way, in that game, Matt, pique your interest, Curtis Samuel had one of his best games. 6 targets, 5 grabs for 58 yards and a touchdown in that win against the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's of interesting to note right there.
I love it. Yeah, Samuel's role is obviously a little nebulous on the scene. Yeah, he was like a pure outside guy for them. Not pure outside guy, but about 65. Yeah, yeah. Like almost, I mean, a little more like 27.8% of his snaps in the slot last week. So, yeah, I think he's obviously interesting in this matchup as well because we know the Chiefs play a ton of man coverage, and Samuel is definitely a man coverage beater for like those plays that are quick hitters, things like that. So I could see him being being an interesting target in this one particularly. This is the type of team that I think they signed him to go against.
If both teams play mistake-free football, who wins?
Probably Kansas City.
The sound of dread in your voice reflects most of America pulling for Buffalo.
You know, I truly don't care. I don't like it. Doesn't it's not going to offend
doesn't
me
sound like it doesn't sound like you don't care. It sounds like you want Buffalo to
well yeah no I want Buffalo to win because I think like one of these other non-Mahomes guys like needs a crack at the Super Bowl.
They do.
They're just so hard to beat, you know. They're just so difficult to beat in their building especially, and it's just like Mahomes is good. I never wish anybody injury, and I certainly don't wish Mahomes injury. And even if he does get hurt, he'll just do that. Like I was talking about this with somebody today, where he does that like dad chest out, like old man walk back to the huddle when he's hurt, and then he'll just go out there and throw a damn touchdown. Yep, totally. So even if he's hurt, who cares? He'll play through. But like if Mahomes, he's like miss some time for one of these guys to get in the damn playoffs. They're getting to the damn Super Bowl. But yeah, I do wish Buffalo well. I would love to see Josh Allen and these guys get into the Super Bowl. But yeah, if they both play mistake-free football, and Kansas City wins.
In their last matchup, Patrick Mahomes had 2 interceptions and Travis Kelce had just 8 yards. That's just not going to happen.
No, not going to happen.
This week, I am going to take Buffalo straight away. I'll take Buffalo money line, man. Forget the points. I know they're 1.5 dog. Forget it. I got Buffalo straight up with the dub here. I think they in there. It feels like their time. It feels like their time. Defensively, they're not that great, but they're not horrendous. And let me just put it to you this way. Even when Buffalo was at their peak defensively, last 2 minutes of any game, it didn't have to be Kansas City. It could have been any team. Buffalo's defense always fell apart. So screw it. They're bad. They're below average this year. So who cares? That doesn't matter. You know, even when they were at their best, relying on the defense was always a mistake because they always gave it up in the last 2 minutes of a game. So who cares at this point? Okay, so forget about it. I'm going with Josh Allen. I think he's in total control right now. The Haley Steinfeld effect is real. Okay, we've got dueling pop stars. Okay, we've got Steinfeld versus the Swifties. It's all good, bro. I'll go with Haley Steinfeld in this matchup. I like the Buffalo Bills.